And what I'd like to talk about tonight is letting go. That's the subject for the evening, letting go. And really, it's about how our practice helps us let go. And what does that even look like? So I want to begin just by asking a question, which is, what do you have a hard time letting go of? You don't have to answer it out loud, but just to reflect for yourself, what's hard to let go of for you? And we think of letting go, sometimes we think of very big things, but it can be really small things as well. It can be the daily personal rituals that we all have. It can be like the way we chop onions, or the way we grate cheese. Many years ago, I was in a relationship, and I was making pasta. I'm half Italian. I was making pasta for my partner, and I gave her the job of grating cheese. And I had, the way I grate cheese, the way I grew up, is you grated it on the very fine side of the grater so that the cheese would kind of snow down. A little fine mist of very sharp, salty cheese is just great over the pasta. And my partner, I was making the sauce, and I looked over at my partner, and she was grating the cheese on the long end so that you would get these like long hunks of cheese coming down. And I went, no, don't do it like that. And it was just like kind of like this classic thing, because I was really attached to grating cheese that way. And I still grate it that way. But over the years, I actually realized that, you know what? If you're grating the cheese, you can grate it any way you damn well please, actually. But, you know, there was a real tightness about the way I held on to that, grating cheese. Perhaps it's hard to let go of your self-view. We all have a self-view, you know, being the best at something. The best writer, the best athlete, the best Dharma teacher, the best chief executive officer, or whatever. Or perhaps it's being the smartest person in the room. Maybe we have an idea that this is the view that we have of ourselves, that we need to be the smartest person in the room, or that we need to always be right. You know, this is kind of like a self-view that we have. And sometimes when we come into contact with something that contradicts that self-view, that's an opportunity to let go. But that can be also very difficult. Perhaps it's hard letting go of our looks, that our body should look a certain way. We should be so tall or fit in a certain way. I remember, I have white hair now, grayish hair. I've had gray hair for a long time, like a long time. But for many years, I couldn't let go of the idea that I no longer had black hair. I couldn't let it go. So I did something to resist that experience called Clairol for Men. And you know, and it was funny because I dyed my hair and I thought it looked great, you know. And you know, people used to tell me, you know, that it looked good. And I finally asked a friend of mine. My friend of mine said to me, you know, it really looks fake, Bill. And I said, no, it doesn't look fake. I said, everyone tells me it looks great. And she said to me, they're lying. They're just lying to make you feel better. At a certain point, I let go of that, and I had gray hair. Maybe it's hard to let go of a plan. that we have, or even an ideal that we have, or a relationship that we have. So there are a lot of things that we can let go of in life, and that we actually need to let go of. But what's behind the idea of letting go in the first place? What's behind the idea of, say, chopping our onions or grating our cheese in a certain way? Well, what we're letting go of is really habit, an attachment to doing something in a certain way. And that's really all about clinging. But when we cling to a habit, what are we clinging to?
Pleasure.
We're clinging to what we know. We're clinging to the known world, to what's familiar, and to what's safe. We experience a sense of safety when we cling. And Buddhism is always talking about not clinging, right? And the reason that, you know, Buddhism describes not clinging as an important thing is that clinging leads to suffering. But why do we suffer when we cling? Anyone? What's the one fundamental condition in the world that means that when we cling, we suffer?
Things change all the time.
Exactly. Impermanence. Exactly. Things are impermanent. Everything is impermanent. So when we cling to things as permanent, it sets us up for suffering, for stress. And so in Buddhism, there's this idea that one of the fruits of our practice is the idea that we can abandon clinging, that we can let go of clinging or not cling. There's a refrain in the Satipatthana Sutta, which is the Buddha's instructions for how to be mindful. It's a great text. How many people have read the Satipatthana Sutta here? Just to get a little show of hands. Highly recommended. Not that long.
Is that the Heart Sutra?
Sorry? No, this is something else. This is basically the Buddha's instructions for how to be mindful in all different aspects of experience. And there is, in those instructions, there's a refrain. It's called the refrain. At the end of each series of instructions, and the refrain says this, "And he or she abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world." Abiding independently, not clinging to anything in the world. And that's repeated over and over and over again in that text. And the whole idea of not clinging is described and held up as a really important thing in Buddhism and, you know, many, many Buddhist texts. Even the word nibbana, which is the Buddhist word for enlightenment, which we usually translate as enlightenment, implies non-clinging, because the word enlightenment actually means to extinguish, as if extinguishing a flame. And what does a flame cling to? It clings to its fuel. And so in this sense, the flame is like the mind. When the flame no longer clings to its fuel, then it can be free, it can be liberated. And so in a sense, that means that when the mind no longer clings to its fuel, it becomes liberated. And what's the fuel of the human mind? It's everything. Everything that we experience that's conditioned. So there's a big emphasis on clinging as a cause of suffering, and not clinging or letting go as the gateway to freedom. This is actually a story from India. I'm not exactly sure where. Apparently this is a well-known story. And this is an example of clinging, what happens when we cling. According to an Indian tradition, to catch a monkey, first construct a small basket or cage that has a very narrow opening, slightly bigger than the size of a monkey's paw. Then suspend a peeled banana from the top of the basket. The monkey will reach in for the banana and will be trapped and captured because he won't let go. And I'm told that this also happens with raccoons, by the way, and probably a bunch of other creatures. So, you know, one inquiry that we can ask ourselves in life around letting go is, what's your banana? What's the thing that's really hard for you to let go of? Let's do a little experiment. Just imagine that there's this amazing food or something that's just past your hand's reach, and reach for it. Just reaching, and you can't get to it. You can't get to it. Reaching a little harder, it's still beyond your grasp. And then just let go. Just come back. And do you feel relief in that? There's relief when we let go. So how do we practice letting go? A big part of letting go can be explored through the idea, the Buddhist idea of right intention. And right intention is the second of the Eightfold Path, second part of the Eightfold Path. First part of the Eightfold Path is right view, which is basically understanding what causes suffering and what leads to freedom. It kind of has a big picture view of reality. And when we have that right view, our right intention basically is our way of setting, aligning our lives so that our actions spring from that right intention. And Bhikkhu Bodhi, who is a great translator of the Pali Canon, the Buddhist scriptures, he explains right intention this way. He says the Buddha explains it as threefold: the intention of renunciation, the intention of goodwill, and the intention of harmlessness. And so I want to highlight the word renunciation here, because renunciation is basically letting go. When we practice renunciation, we're letting go of our habits. Basically, the habits that don't serve us or that hold us back from experiencing wisdom, joy, happiness. So this sounds really kind of like heady stuff that I'm sketching out here a little bit, like letting go, wow. But actually, as practitioners, we're letting go all the time. We're practicing letting go all the time in many different ways every day that we show up to practice, even if we don't realize it. So for example, all of you could be somewhere else tonight. You know, taking in a movie, going to a really nice restaurant, meeting some friends for drinks or whatever, hanging out at home, nesting. But you chose to come here. You chose to use your valuable time here because of the Dharma. And so in a sense, just by being here, you're letting go of kind of the more habitual ways. Not bad at all. Not, you know, it's like nothing wrong with those other habits. But this is a specific orientation that we make when we come to a Dharma center, Sangha. We sit, we practice together. The fact that we meditate. Just to sit on your bench or your cushion or your chair is a huge letting go. Even if it's just for 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, there's so many other things competing for our attention. Like if you sit in the morning, anyone sit in the morning here? Mm-hmm. Any morning sitters? Yeah. You know, what's the routine that we have in the morning? You know, we're lying awake, we're starting to think about, oh my God, you know, it's like that meeting I've got or report I have to write or, and then we start feeling the cortisol levels start, you know, entering our bloodstream. We start getting stressed out. And we get up and what we want to do is we want to check our phones, right? We want to check our phones or go online, want to have our coffee, and we want to start a kind of plunge into this sort of high energy, kind of multitasking type of way of being. And instead of doing that, we sit. We're letting go of the habit of getting stressed out and absorbing ourselves in a lot of stuff that we can't control. Or maybe you sit at night and, you know, again, you can go out with your friends or do a lot of things at night after work. But instead you choose to sit, at least for that period of time, where you could be doing something else. And of course, in the act of meditating itself, the very act of meditating, there's a lot of letting go. And it's actually, meditation is really all about letting go. You sit and you breathe in, you sit and you breathe out. You focus on your breathing. And before you know it, you've begun thinking about a business trip you have to take, some details in your life that you have to work out. You start thinking about, you know, how are you going to pick up your kid from school on this particular day. You start worrying. And then you recognize that you've lost the breath, and so you come back to the breath. And in the instant that you come back to the breath, you've let go of worry. You've actually practiced letting go of worry because you're coming back to the present moment. And then you're, you know, sitting with your breathing again, you're breathing in, you're breathing out, and all of a sudden you start fantasizing about food, about an incredible vacation, or about the perfect partner. And then you realize you've been fantasizing. And you come back to the breath. And in the instant that you come back to the breath, you've practiced letting go of desire. Or maybe you think about someone who rubs you the wrong way, or maybe someone that you have some ill will towards, and you start getting really, really angry, and you lose the breath by fantasizing some angry thoughts about this person. And then you realize, oh, you know, this is anger, so you come back to the breath. And in that moment, you're practicing letting go of anger. So in meditation, we're constantly letting go. We're practicing letting go of these states of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's all meditation is, actually. It's letting go. Letting go of what takes us out of the here and now. Letting go of what pulls us away from the present moment and the knowing and wisdom that's in the present moment. When you're on retreat and you're practicing intensively, you might discover, you know, you're practicing 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day, maybe more. And you discover that parts of your body are in pain. This is something that happens. Maybe the shoulders or the back, And maybe you discover parts of your body that are wounded that you didn't even know were wounded. And so, but you stay with it. And in the staying with it, you're actually letting go of the idea that meditation needs to be pain-free. And of course, as we sit with discomfort and pain and difficulty in meditation, we're training ourselves to sit with difficulty in our lives. So when we have a sore shoulders and we're able to actually work with that in meditation, we're training ourselves to work with a sore person or a sore relationship or a challenging situation. Because we're learning how to sit with discomfort, we're letting go of the fact or of the idea that things need to be without discomfort. It can be very, very helpful. We also practice letting go of the stories that we tell ourselves, about other people. And that's because in the process of meditation, we begin to understand that our thoughts are actually events in consciousness rather than facts. What that means is we stop identifying with our thoughts as being always true or the whole truth. I was at a meeting once with clients, and I had to perform at this meeting. And just as I was about to go on, a voice in my head said, "You shouldn't be here. You're not good enough." And I noticed that thought. I asked myself, is that true? It wasn't true. And then I thought, if I actually continue to believe that thought, even in that moment, if I continue to entertain that thought, I won't be able to perform at this meeting. And it's going to cause me suffering. And I saw it really clearly, and I let it go. And the reason I was able to let go of that thought is that I had practiced letting go of similar thoughts for years. And that's what happens when we practice. We train ourselves to let go of what we don't need anymore. Our practice also helps us practice letting go of emotions. Not getting rid of emotions, but letting them go, seeing them as passing events that don't have to define who we are. So our practice, mindfulness practice, helps us metabolize emotions and digest them and actually learn what we need to learn from them. But actually keeping the bigger picture in mind so that we don't get completely overwhelmed by emotions. Again, something that takes practice. And in our meditation, we also practice letting go of the need to be in control. Anyone here like being in control? It's great, isn't it? Is it like really easy to control external events for the most part? I mean, we can definitely control some events, but for the most part, most events that happen, either large or small, are beyond our control. And the need for letting go of that control is a huge relief. So much suffering is caused when we think we have to control things. And when we can let go of that, a huge amount of relief. And I've been thinking about activism a lot lately. because the times we're living in are times of a lot of beautiful activism actually taking place all over our country. And one thing about activism is that it's very easy to become very attached to results of your actions. And one of the most powerful things that I think activists learn is to let go of the result, even though you keep fighting. You know, if a certain court decision goes the other way and you're completely crestfallen because you were absolutely attached to it going your way, eventually that cycle gets repeated a bunch of times and you'll get burned out. So the ability to let go is actually a way to keep our activism strong. We don't let go of our ideals, we let go of the attachment to what we want to accomplish. So part of what we want to control, speaking of control, is the idea of perfection. That we are somehow capable of becoming perfect. Which kind of means that we become our own self-improvement project. It's like, you know, I become my project when I think that at some point I'm going to become perfect, and therefore I got to just keep working at it. Does anyone have the idea that you need to be perfect in some way about something? Again, there's a tremendous relief when we can let go of the idea that we need to be perfect about anything. And letting go of being perfect has a lot to do with the idea that we're a fixed and separate self in the first place. Mindfulness practice, especially when it gets deep, it starts going deeper, reveals the fact that experience is really this ever-changing flow, and that we're part of that flow, and that when we can align ourselves with that flow instead of resisting the flow, then whatever we can be or become is boundless, because we're not trying to fix reality. We're actually able to let go of the fixing. To let go is ultimately to admit that whatever we were holding on to is not a source of a permanent happiness. I should also say here that letting go in this context, it's not about getting rid of anything. It's not about pushing anything away. It's very important. If we push things away, that's just another form of clinging. It's just basically being aversive. So a lot of people think that letting go, well, is it an act of will? Something that you can willfully let go. And, you know, in my experience, letting go is something that happens naturally. And in fact, if you try willing it to happen, it won't work, or it'll be very difficult for it to work. But letting go is something that arises naturally as a fruit of your practice. So I'll give you a little analogy, which is maybe a little disgusting, but I'm going to try it here. It's Wednesday. We're going to live large. I recently had a growth on my nose, the bridge of my nose. And I went to the doctor's office, and for the first time in my life, I had liquid nitrogen applied to this little growth. Anyone had that experience of liquid nitrogen? Mm-hmm. Very kind of unique thing. And I was given instructions for how to deal with it. And basically, after just over a number of a few days, showering, washing my face, this thing that was on my nose just fell off. I didn't have to do anything. It just fell off. And to me, that was like, that reminds me, oh, that's like letting go. What we let go of just falls off. We don't actually have to do anything except commit ourselves to our practice. So we don't want to force the letting go, because actually it's really important that we live through the experience. And people talk about you know, the idea that we shouldn't become attached. Oh, I shouldn't become attached. I'm a Buddhist, I'm practicing mindfulness, I shouldn't become attached, I shouldn't cling. And actually, it's really important that we let ourselves become attached and that we let ourselves cling. That's because only when we let ourselves desire something and want something and become attached to something are we exposing our hearts to being vulnerable. And only then can we do the learning that we need to do that results in letting go. Only if we're willing to have our hearts broken, actually. So if you say, I don't want to cling, I don't want to become attached, I say, let yourself cling, let yourself become attached, but do it being awake. So I have a poem that I'm just going to finish this talk with. It's from Dana Falls, and this is called Not Coincidentally, Let It Go. Let go of the ways you thought life would unfold. The holding of plans or dreams or expectations. Let it all go. Save your strength to swim with the tide. The choice to fight what is here before you now will only result in struggle, fear, and desperate attempts to flee from the very energy you long for. Let go. Let it all go and flow with the grace that washes through your days, whether you receive it gently or with all your quills raised to defend against invaders. Take this on faith. The mind may never find the explanations that it seeks, but you will move forward nonetheless. Let go, and the wave's crest will carry you to unknown shores, beyond your wildest dreams or destinations. Let it all go and find the place of rest and peace and certain transformation.